Hey everybody. That's not, as you might be thinking, a frog.
No, it's me, Maria. I have a cold, but you know what? I love you, listeners, so I'm recording this episode of Magic the Amateuring, despite being filled with mucus.
That's pretty disgusting, man.
You're welcome.
Thank you?
Uh-huh. All right. You know what? We're going to be here for you. You know, rain or shine, we're like the postal service of magic podcasts.
Absolutely. We always wear like little blue jackets and shorts in the summer and pants in the winter. And we know your address.
We sure do. We also know if you shovel or not. And we're known for rage.
Yeah. do not have a fear of dogs. That's just a stereotype.
Yeah. No.
We're actually like really chill with dogs. Mm-hmm. Super chill with dogs.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Magic the Amateuring. I'm one of your hosts, Maria.
I'm Megan.
And this is a podcast for people who like magic. Do you like magic? Good news. You're in the right place.
That's right. If you hate magic, what are you doing? Why did you Google magic podcast?
We may never know, Megan.
What did you do?
It'll be one of those life's great mysteries.
All right. Or life's tiny mysteries. Life's tiny boring mysteries.
I wish that was a saying, like one of life's tiny boring mysteries
that we just never
figure out.
It is.
But
now,
if you get enough tiny boring mysteries together, eventually you have a very interesting book.
You think that you could write an interesting book that's just chapter after chapter of tiny boring mysteries?
Yes.
You don't think that that's not just always going to be a tiny boring book?
I think that if you get enough tiny boring mysteries, it equals eventually one great, you know, super interesting mystery.
I don't know. That's a really, that's like a really testable theory.
Yeah.
And I think it needs to be tested. So
okay.
If you're out there jonesing to write a book, go ahead and write us the book that is the book of tiny boring mysteries.
I would, you know, if you're a scientist, use some theory, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. The theory, the tiny boring mystery theory.
On today's show, it's not going to be tiny nor boring, at least I hope.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about Cube.
Absolutely. There's a sweet vintage Cube going on right now, also known as the Holiday Cube. The Holiday Cube is different every time because you don't want to know exactly what you're getting for Christmas.
No.
Or the holiday.
Some people do, though. Some people want to open their they want to know what their present is.
You know, okay, look, I like spoilers.
Yeah.
For things. I like knowing what's going to happen. When I started watching and reading Game of Thrones, I like Google almost it? Immediately got online and Googled it and read what was going to happen.
Megan. Well, you know, I don't blame you. That show is the worst. I cannot invest myself in that show because why bother? Everybody's going to die. Literally.
Yeah. No, that's also very true.
Do you know what's going to happen in the end of the episode? I know. I mean, the show.
Everyone's
going to
die.
Literally every single character that has ever been in the show is going to die.
Yeah.
And then you find out they were dinosaurs the whole time and it was just a big giant way to explain how the dinosaurs went extinct.
Oh, yeah, dinosaurs went extinct because of politics.
Yep.
Makes a lot of sense.
I agree.
My point is that I love spoilers, and I understand that in some people's eyes, that makes me a monster, and I'm okay with it. But even I don't want to know what I'm getting for Christmas.
No, me either.
So how did we get on that tangent?
I don't know. Cube. Anyway,
Cube.
We're going to talk
Cube.
About it.
That's right.
Also coming up, we've got some Oath of the Gatewatch spoilers. Speaking of spoilers, more and more are being spoiled every day as we get closer and closer to pre-release weekend.
Absolutely. It's just like a fridge that's been left wide open up in there.
It's so gross.
Everything's getting spoiled.
And I'm still like, I'd eat that carrot.
Well, carrots don't need to be refrigerated. Wait, do they? Wait.
Yes. They're in the refrigerated part of the grocery store.
They're in the produce part, and all of the produce is a little chilly.
So it doesn't need to be refrigerated. It just needs to be a little chilly?
Yeah, which I guess is refrigeration.
Does chili have to be a little chilly?
I mean, not when you're eating it, but if you're storing it, yes.
We're also going to talk about Modern. Megan's been practicing with a Merfolk deck, and I've been playing around with a little bit of Modern, and we've got some questions for the mailbag for you guys. So, yeah, chock full of fun, everybody.
Absolutely. Chock full of chalk, because we're going to go to a chalkboard and write all these things down.
Sounds boring. Sounds like a lesson.
Sounds like a tiny, boring mystery.
For the cubes.
Oh, man. You know what? We're still super noobs ourselves when it comes to Holiday Cube.
That's correct.
We even said when we were going into the Community Cup, which was a legacy cube, mm-hmm. we were like, you guys. We're like,
oh no.
Watch out.
So scared. Watch out.
We turned out to be super big liars.
Yeah, because we crushed it.
We crushed that legacy cube with stipulations.
Yeah. I mean, you even throw a stipulation at us, no problem.
We were just like, we got it. Yeah. We got it, man. Mm-hmm. But Holiday Cube, once again, we're sort of like,
What is it?
Last year was the very first year that I ever tried out that Holiday Cube.
Yeah, me too.
I had so much fun, and I only kind of tried it out later on, like not right when it came out. It took me a couple of weeks, so it was towards the end, and like it was right before it was about to be taken down, and I was like, no! I just discovered this amazing thing! And now it's going to be taken away from me.
Yeah, it's like when the favorite restaurant closes that you just found.
Exactly. And you were like, how did that happen?
And then you order so many orders of their fries and you take them mm-hmm. home. You order like 6 orders of their fries.
Yes.
But it's not the same because they're cold and soggy when you eat them and not warm and crisp and delicious.
Absolutely. This is a true story, you guys. This is a true story that happened to Maria.
I started talking about this and I was like, oh my God, wait a second. You're this like, is actually no. true.
You didn't realize that you were telling that true story
not
when
until
you started
Not until I thought, like, I was like 3
fries.
Sentences in.
You were like, fries.
At fries.
Like, yep. I know what you're thinking about.
It was really sad, everybody. I'm still traumatized by it. Don't talk to me about it, okay?
Well, just like those fries, this cube is about to go away soon.
Oh my God.
Because not all good things can last. Just like not all tiny, boring mysteries can be solved.
Okay.
But it's so much fun and it's so great.
Yeah.
And if you have not yet given it a try, you totally should. They have, you know, they have 8 fours or single elim, as they say, if you really want to jump in there. But if you're feeling like us, that you kind of need to get your bearings, you need to feel the feet beneath your ground.
What?
You need to bury your feet.
I have.
You need to bury your feet.
I have ground attached to my legs, and I only stand on decapitated feet.
There's also Swiss cues for it.
Question.
So you can hop in and play a couple of rounds. Yes.
How is Holiday Cube / Vintage Cube different than Legacy Cube?
Oh man, they have cards that are. Legacy Cube doesn't have anything that's banned in Legacy.
Oh.
Holiday Cube has lots of delicious things in Legacy.
You can play with some naughty, naughty cards.
Oh, you can play with Sol Ring. You can play with any of the Moxen.
Yep.
You can play with Ancestral Recall.
Megan, I had 3 Moxes in one of my decks the other day.
What?
3.
How?
I opened one in every single pack.
That's insane.
Isn't that weird?
That's amazing.
Like, how did that happen?
I have no idea.
I don't know if it's ever happened before. I mean, it probably has, but I mean, probably like once.
if you're a brave, brave soul, you can even draft Storm in this cube.
Yeah.
Because it's a real deal thing here.
I've gotten Storm to death for sure. Tendrils'd.
Mm-hmm.
Out of nowhere.
Pretty crazy.
Yeah.
It's pretty crazy. That's the big difference is there's some other cards that you don't see in Legacy Cube that are in the Vintage Cube as well. But the big ones that everybody is super excited about are stuff like Time Walk and Ancestral Recall and the Moxes and
It gives you a chance to play with these super powerful cards that you might not have had a chance to play with because you came into Magic later, like Megan and myself.
Yeah.
Or maybe there's like even a nostalgia factor for you if you were lucky enough to be playing Magic back in the good old days.
Absolutely. And if you have never cast a Mox on turn 1.
Oh my God.
Oh man. It's a feeling. Or a gone channel into Emrakul.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, it's something else.
Yeah, it is.
It really is.
I mean, when they printed Channel, were they thinking?
I mean, I think they were like,
my question.
They were like, you get to add mana, but you lose life, so that's balanced. Like, that makes sense.
Yeah, why would that ever be a problem?
That's not a problem.
Hmm.
Turn to Emrakul.
Oh my gosh.
Suck it.
Yeah.
It's pretty sweet. It has, so when we were talking about lands before our time a couple of weeks ago, we mentioned Forbidden Orchard and we were like, what? And literally everyone with a Twitter account.
Literally every single person.
Every person who has ever had a Twitter account tweeted at us and was like, it's a combo in Vintage with Oath of Druids.
Yeah.
Which is a one and a green enchantment that says if a on your upkeep, if a player has fewer creatures, or if your opponent has more creatures than you, you get to reveal cards off the top of your library until you reveal a creature, and you get to put that creature into play. So that's something that, one, you can do in Vintage Cube. It's also a vintage deck for realsies, because yeah. you tap your Forbidden Orchard and they get a spirit, and oh snap, they have more creatures than you, and then you get to reveal a Gristlebrand.
Sick.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, Gristle Daddy's showing up in some pretty spicy modern decks. We'll get to that later, I suppose.
Oh yeah. I've seen a couple of those.
Yeah, you can draft a lot of different decks in the Holiday Cube. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of different synergies. Some synergies you'll remember from Legacy Cube if you've played that.
Yeah.
Some will seem very similar to draft strategies that you might have played before.
One that you had a lot of success with in Legacy Cube, and that I also love playing sometimes in Vintage Cube, is just like the mono green ramp deck.
Right.
Where you finish off by hoofing them.
Get hoofed.
I had what I think was probably the best mono green ramp deck that I've ever drafted. Ooh, in awesome. Cube. It was amazing.
Deck.
It splashed blue for a time walk because of course it did.
Duh.
But other than that, it had like all of the go and find your creatures things. You know, it had like natural order and all of that sort of stuff. And it had literally all of the mana elves, just all of them. It was so beautiful.
Oh, and sounds great.
Yeah. And it had the 6-mana Garrick where you can minus it to put a green creature from your hand into play. So sometimes it'd be like 6-mana Garrick, minus it, Crater Hoof. Deal with
it.
Get fucking hoofed.
Yeah, I love that deck in Cube.
It's a lot of fun. And you know, I feel like I get it if people don't want to play it in Vintage Cube, because it is a deck that you can basically recreate the same thing in Legacy Cube. It's also in there. But it is just, it's a ton of fun.
Another deck that I like to play that I've talked about on the show before is Reanimator, mm-hmm. Which is a really powerful deck where you take your best cards in your hand, like a Gristlebrand or some kind of other huge, enormous creature. Doesn't even have to be black.
Mm-hmm.
And you discard it somehow. And then you bring it back into play with a card like Animate Dead or Nightmare.
Or Makeshift Mannequin.
Yeah.
Or Reanimate.
Reanimate. And yeah, so there's a lot of cards. This is kind of like combo-y because you need the pieces to be able to pitch. So you need something like a Liliana, or you need like
an Entomb.
Mm-hmm. There's several other ones as well. And it's really fun. Of course, it can be picked apart by blue counter spells or by people who take stuff away from your hand. Those jerks, those dirty, dirty jerks. Thankfully, those cards are usually black that steal your opponent's cards. So maybe you have them.
yeah.
But that deck's a lot of fun. And I actually built a black-white version of that deck.
Ooh.
Yeah, using Elesh Norn as one of my top... Oof.
Nice.
That card's great.
That card is real great.
I don't know if a black-white deck... I don't know if that's an actual deck or if that's the color you're supposed to be using with Reanimator. Probably not. But I did it, and it was pretty good.
That's sweet, man. That's real sweet. I also drafted... My favorite thing to do in Cube is to cheat big creatures into play.
Oh, yeah.
There's something so satisfying about it. We mentioned, like, Channel, which is the green-green. It's a green-green that... allows you, I believe it's a sorcery, that allows you until the end of your turn, you can pay life to add colorless mana to your mana pool. So on, you know, you cast Channel for green on turn two, and then you add 15 colorless mana to your mana pool and cast Emrakul. And you're like,
indeed, it is
this
sorcery.
Is fair.
Yeah.
Of course, that makes a lot of sense.
Also beautiful art on Channel,
it's super cool. So yeah, but that's like if you're playing green with it. But I also drafted a sneak and show because I had both sneak attack and show and tell and through the breach in this deck. And
Whoa.
Then I think I had an Ulamog and I had an Emrakul.
Question: did you take that stuff before you took Emrakul, or did you take Emrakul first and then get that stuff?
I think in this instance I got the most of the stuff to cheat it into play first. Like, I think I picked up a show and tell a couple of turns into pack or a couple of picks into pack one, like four or five. And I was just like, oh, okay. Like, yes, I think I already had a couple of blue because I also really like just drafting the mean counter spells. Mana drain. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, beautiful. I think that's the way to do it. I think you need the enablers before you need the big guys because there's plenty of big guys you can get. You won't always get Emrakul, but
exactly. But you can usually get enough fatties.
Shieldred, the whispering one.
Yes,
love that guy.
Or
massacre worm.
Yeah, massacre worm or Elesh Norn, as you mentioned, or any of the Eldrazi's. Like they have both Ulamogs now, in the cube, so that's pretty cool. One time I didn't even have to like show and tell. I mana drained my opponent's play, and then with my mana drain mana, I was able to just straight up cast an Ulamog. It was sweet.
Mana drain, also a card that I'm like, how did you think this was okay?
That one I have literally no idea what they were thinking. I have no clue. I have no clue what made them think that.
That was a drunk day at the office.
This is fine.
Do you have drunk days at your office, Megan?
No.
We have Thursdays. They open the keg. Oh, not all day, but like later into the day.
I'm like excited when we get free sodas.
Well, we should have another drunk episode of Magic the Amateuring. What do you think?
Yeah, sometime.
We've had a couple.
In a basement.
Yeah, we had one in a basement. We had one on a porch. And then we had one where I just recorded you when you were drunk in a bar and we were talking about magic.
That's right.
Yeah.
I remember that.
That was a good time. So yeah, get out there and play some cube. If you've got any good cube stories, tweet them at us at MTAcast. I'd love to hear about them.
Yeah.
And I'm excited to actually get back into Legendary Cube whenever that comes back around.
Yeah,
because
totally.
I feel like I know it a little better now that we played it at the Community Cup.
Yeah. We talked last week about setting goals for yourself in the new year. Mm-hmm. My goal is before this cube is done, which might be tomorrow, so I might need to do it like tonight. I might need to stop recording this podcast
and play go. Cube. I understand,
but wait,
it's important.
The thing is that I want to try Storm. Okay?
Okay. I mean, you're crazy.
A billion things can and will go wrong. I will definitely mess up in the middle of trying to do the combo.
Yeah.
I 100% will do that. I 100% will draft it incorrectly.
That's okay.
Everything can and will go wrong, but I love watching other players draft it.
Storm seems like the natural fit for you. This is what you were born to do.
I was born to cast all the spells while someone else does not get to cast spells.
Because it's just so stupid because it does absolutely nothing until then it wins.
Yes.
That's how it goes. It's nothing, 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 win.
You say that like there's something might be wrong with that. I don't understand.
All I can say is I've spent my whole game building up my green fatties, and now I just have to sit there with you have 100,000 triggers on the stack.
Oh, yes. Yeah, it's the worst. And you get to play all the crazy draw sevens, like Wheel of Fortune, Time Twister.
Megan, how do you use Wheel of Fortune?
Wheel of Fortune?
Yeah.
You cast it.
But how is it advantageous?
Oh, so in the case of like a storm deck, you know, you're trying to build up your storm count, which is casting a whole bunch of spells in a single turn. And Wheel of Fortune, I get the wording on some of the cards confused, but I think Wheel of Fortune is you both players discard their hand and just draw a fresh seven. But if you're trying to build your storm count, or if you're going off that turn, then you've played all of the other cards in your hand. So you're casting Wheel of Fortune and you have zero cards that you are discarding and you're just drawing a fresh seven. That's pretty sweet.
Each player discards his or her hand, then draws seven cards.
Yep, exactly. And so then you just have a fresh hand of seven new spells, which is pretty sick. I would also accept, in lieu of a storm deck, drafting an upheaval deck, because that deck is also sweet.
That's also a deck that is just a complete jerk.
Yeah, it's amazing, though.
Do you know, Megan, we know the owner of the original Wheel of Fortune art?
We do?
Yeah.
Who owns it?
April, Cube April.
Oh, that's right.
Judge April on the show a couple times.
Pretty sweet.
I was just looking at it when we were over at her house the other night. I was like, oh yeah, you own Wheel of Fortune.
You own Wheel of Fortune. It's pretty sweet.
It's really cool.
So that's one of my goals. That's one of my goals for this year is to draft Storm.
Well, good luck. High five to you.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're going to need it.
I really am. I'm going to fuck up so bad.
It's spoiler season.
That's right, everybody. Put on your boots and your hats and your gloves because it's we're going to go out.
Outside.
Exactly. And you don't want to get spoiler bite.
No, you sure don't.
You really certainly don't. We're not going to talk about all of the spoilers that have happened because there are
a lot.
So many.
But
so
we want to point out a few of the new ones, which we are personally excited about.
Yeah, that we think look pretty sweet.
I'm going to start off with one that I tweeted about today, which gave me tingles. Inverter of Truth, two black black,
ooh.
Eldrazi, devoid, flying.
Ooh.
Guess what its power and toughness is? 6/6
Oh my goodness.
Okay, so there's got to be a drawback. When Inverter of Truth enters the battlefield, exile all cards from your library face down, then shuffle all cards from your graveyard into your library.
What?
I love this card because it's so weird. Like,
it is so weird.
It's so weird, and it's such a horrible drawback. You cannot play this on turn four because you will die the next turn when you go to draw your card and you have no more cards in your library.
No more cards in your library.
But...
Holy cow.
Man, I love this card. I don't think it's particularly good.
Well, you know, there were cards like there were like the Sphinx's Revelation control decks, which you all know I have, you know, take every opportunity to bring up because they are.
It's awkward.
They're like my long lost love of my life. You know, I just need to talk about them every time that I get the opportunity.
Yeah.
Because I miss them so much.
What are you
going
to say?
So those decks played as one of their win conditions, Elixir of Immortality.
Oh, yeah.
Which took your graveyard and shuffled it back into your library, which is a little bit different because it just shuffled it all together.
You
didn't have to exile your library in the meantime. But in some ways, like I wonder if maybe someone is going to build a deck where this is a home for that because it is... Like, Elixir of Immortality wasn't just a way to not die by decking yourself in the game. It was also, it's really good because you've played so many of the lands in your deck. You're now going to be drawing a lot of spells. Like, think of how few lands are going to be in your graveyard.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're playing with a lot of fetches, you will have some number of them. But at the same time, you know, it's going to be, you know, maybe there is a home for it. Because there's going to be a control deck that's like, yeah, do you know what? At some point I do want to, you know, shuffle all these spells that I've cast into my library instead.
This guy is pretty great. Mm-hmm. I was thinking of Limited when I was like, I don't think you play this card.
Oh, yeah, I agree. And Limited, it would be really taking a
pretty
risk.
Pretty bad.
Yeah.
But anyway, I think it's really cool.
It is super cool. Very cool design.
And I think something that we're seeing with these newly spoiled Eldrazi cards is a lot of really unique kind of cool mechanics and different kinds of stuff
that we've seen before. Different effects, rather. They have. Yeah, totally.
All right. Did you want to talk about Chandra?
Oh, yeah. Let's look at Chandra. She's a flame caller.
Yeah, she sure is.
Four red reds. So that's 6, which is kind of a lot.
That's expensive.
Even for a planeswalker.
You better give me something good, Chandra.
So her plus, is it plus one? Plus one is you get 2/3/1 elemental tokens with haste. You exile them at the end of the turn.
That's a lot of power. That's six power.
Just saying. That is a lot. Her 0 is you discard your hand and you draw that many cards plus 1. So that's pretty sweet. I mean, I like drawing cards.
Yeah, and red doesn't usually get a great way to draw cards.
Yeah, and especially if you're playing red, it's likely that once you've gotten to 6 and you're casting this, you've played all of your cards already anyways. So her 0 is very likely just like a draw one card.
Right.
Which is pretty sweet. And then she has a minus X, which is she deals X damage to all creatures.
Huh.
Correct?
Yep.
Okay. Definitely a very interesting card. And she starts out with 4 loyalty.
I'm interested to see how people use this card.
Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely, like I said, it's very interesting and a little strange. She doesn't really have a way to protect herself, which if you're red, you might not care.
Maybe you don't care.
You maybe don't care. But at the same time, if you're paying 6 mana for a planeswalker, I think you want it to stick around.
Would you play 6 mana for 2/3/1s with haste that go away?
No.
What if you're like, I mean, red beatdowns, like a lot of times some decks won't leave back blockers. I mean, they're going to have to always leave back a blocker if this is playing.
That's true. That's very true. I still had that six mana. It's just so much, you know?
I mean, it is Elspeth with six.
That's true.
Not saying this Elspeth, but.
But Elspeth had, yeah, Elspeth had a much more potent effect on the board, I would argue.
Yeah.
Those soldiers don't quit, man.
No, they stick around.
Elementals are so flighty. I dated an elemental once.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's like I said, you know, flighty, flighty elemental.
Yeah, they're definitely. No,
they're one day, gone the next.
They're definitely the Aries.
Yeah.
Of signs. Here we have Nyssa, voice of Zendikar.
Oh.
This is Nyssa, the voice of Zendikar, on Zendikar Radio 101.3 FM. We've got Eldrazi taking over the country, but if you want, I'll play you some nice tunes and read your love letters on the air. Nyssa, voice of Zendikar, one green green. Plus one, put an 01 green plant creature token onto the battlefield. Minus two, put a plus one counter on each creature you control. Negative seven, you gain X life and draw X cards, where X is the number of lands you control. Three loyalty.
All right. I mean, interesting. 01 plants are a little...
They'll block for you.
Yeah, they will block. They're a little, you know, when someone says to me, 01 plant, I'm like, okay.
It's not very often people say that to you, probably.
Yeah, I mean, okay. You don't know what people are saying to me, okay? I'm just, please don't.
I do like her negative two ability.
Yeah.
You can turn all those little plants into two threes.
Yeah, and unlike Gideon, she doesn't die. You can like play her and immediately put counters on everything.
Right.
It's not the same as an emblem. You know, a little bit more, it's a little bit more ethereal than an emblem.
Yeah.
You know, it's only for the creatures that are there at the time. But it's still pretty cool effect.
Yeah.
Overall, I think that this card, like, I like it's a little bit more focused than Chandra. You know, Chandra, that minus X ability just seems so weird to me, because if you're an aggro deck, it's like, how often are you going to want a minus X?
I don't know. Yeah, I agree, because you're going to kill all your guys in the process as well.
Yeah, whereas Nissa's ability, it's like, oh, yeah, okay. Drawing, you know, if I play this on turn three and she comes in with three loyalty, by the time I get to seven, I'm probably going to have at least six lands in play. Like, draw six cards, gain six life.
Like, all right.
Sign me up. Sign me up all day.
You're going back to your green roots, Megan.
Yeah, maybe I am.
Do you have another card you want to chat about?
Yeah, let's take a look at a couple of these oaths.
Yeah, these cards are very strange.
They are very strange.
I'm going to talk about Oath of Nyssa first.
That sounds good. They're all very planeswalker-centric. They all have this thing where they come in and they do something right when they come in.
Yeah.
But then they also have a static ability.
So it's an enchantment,
mm-hmm.
one green,
mm-hmm.
a legendary enchantment, I should specify. When Oath of Nyssa enters the battlefield, look at the top three cards of your library. You may reveal a creature, land, or planeswalker card from among them and put it into your hand. Put the rest on the bottom of your library in any order.
Okay.
Second ability, you may spend mana Ezo or mana of any color to cast planeswalker spells.
Ooh, I mean, that's a little wild.
People were calling this the Green Ponder.
Oh, I mean, yeah, that's true. It does get you a card out of your top three, which is pretty sweet.
Yeah.
And then the other ability is sort of like, okay.
It's like, sure.
Sure.
Then I take,
here I am.
I play my Felidar Cub and I blow it up just for,
and I'm
for
like,
no reason.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great. Good job.
But like, question.
Yes.
Are you playing this card if you have a green deck in limited?
In limited?
Yes.
You know what? I think you very possibly are. Because it's going to filter you through those top three cards and you're going to find something sweet.
Yeah, I don't think it's that bad.
No, I don't think it's bad by any stretch of the imagination. Am I saying that I want to open this in my rare slot?
No.
No. No. No.
No, thank you.
No.
Yeah, these all have sort of similar
kind of... Let's hear about it.
Oath of Gideon costs three, two and a white.
Oath
of Gideon enters the battlefield, put 2/1/1 white core ally creature tokens onto the battlefield. Each planeswalker you control enters the battlefield with an additional loyalty counter on it.
I mean,
is that worth it?
2/1/1s is like, I would rather have like a Raise the Alarm. That's an instant speed.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, I feel like I get where they were going flavor-wise with these oaths. But
like, say you want, say you just talked about you having to kill your Gideon when you minus him.
Yeah, that's Guess true. What?
He won't be dead with this.
That's very, very true.
But I think the three costs.
And then those 2 1-1s are 2/2s instead.
Yep.
And you have a Gideon around. I don't know.
Mr. Jace also costs 3.
Mr. Jace.
When Oath of Jace enters the battlefield, draw 3 cards and discard 2. Mm-hmm. At the beginning of your upkeep, scry X, where X is the number of planeswalkers you control. Am I going to get a scry trigger off of this thing if I play it and it's just sitting out there every single turn and I'm scrying 0?
Yes. Weird. Wait, I mean, no, I don't think you'll get the trigger.
Okay, just wondering. I that'd just be really annoying.
Scry 0.
But yeah, I don't think probably. I would play draw 3. Well, maybe draw 3, discard 2 is not so bad.
No, I mean, you're breaking even.
Yeah. Oath of Chandra, cards. 1 in a red. Enters the battlefield, it deals 3 damage to target creature and opponent controls. Pretty good.
Yeah.
At the beginning of each end step, if a planeswalker entered the battlefield under your control this turn, Oath of Chandra deals 2 damage to each opponent.
Oh. Huh. I mean, I might, you know, I think the green and the red ones are the ones that are really catching my fancy here.
Yeah, I'd play this.
Yeah. It's not shabby.
And then it would shabby. Just sit there and be useless, but I'd play it.
I mean, if you play a planeswalker, it won't be useless.
True. Yeah. Then you've really assembled the combo. The one card I find very funny that I tweeted about today is Hedron Alignment, 2 in a blue. It's also an enchantment. Guess what? It's hexproof.
Oh, good.
Because you're going to need that hexproof because if anybody... Anyway, hold on.
If anybody what?
At the beginning of your upkeep, you may reveal your hand. If you do, you win the game. If you own a card named Hedron Alignment in exile, in your hand, in your graveyard, and on the battlefield.
Oh, what? You have to have one of those Hedrons in every place?
1 in a blue, scry 1.
My goodness.
Yeah, you have to get one of those Hedrons everywhere. Hedron Alignment, a very silly card.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Megan, did any of these others catch your eye recently?
I think it was last week or maybe the week before when Marshall wrote in his column for Daily MTG about a bunch of different 3-drops, all of which looked super sweet. So if you scroll down a little bit, I believe that they should all be in one row. Down. There we go. That one. It starts with Reflector Mage, which is 1 white-blue for a 2/3. Did we already talk about this guy?
No.
Because he is sweet.
Yeah, he is.
When you cast him, he bounces a creature, and your opponent can't replay that creature on their next turn.
What?
Isn't that insane?
It's so good.
It's really good. Bounce your creature, and BT dubs, you can't replay it right away. You need to wait.
Awesome.
Yeah, super sweet. So a couple of the other ones in that caught my eye.
Flare Drone is 1 black-red, so here's the Rakdos for Maria fans. Ooh. Out there. 3/1 Devoid. First Strike! Oh, how I love First Strike.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever another creature, colorless creature, enters the battlefield under your control, target opponent loses 1 life. So
ooh, spicy.
It's kind of like a molten nursery, on a stick on this creature.
Yeah.
So move over, cool. Molten nursery. You ain't got nothing.
On this 3/1 on this Flare First Drone. First Striker.
Yeah.
Very cool. I just particularly the reflector.
Seems really
reflector
strong.
Mage just seems really sweet.
I want to point out the art on Weapons Trainer. If you've all been thinking about, oh, I want a new haircut, but I don't know what to get.
Get that haircut.
Get this haircut. Get it's like haircut. Some wicked.
Go get that haircut now.
Faux hawk plus some like 3 shaved parts down the side and a little rat like tail in the back.
Oh, ooh. It is an A+ haircut.
The flavor text reads, "When I'm done training you, anything will be a deadly weapon."
Oh, snap.
I should say, including my hair. it's Boros, so it's a red, white, 3/2. And other creatures you control get +1/+0 as long as you control an equipment. So,
oh, my.
There's some good equipment in this set. I don't know.
Really? Let's hear about what's some good equipment.
Well, I don't know.
Okay.
Tell me what you think of this card, Bonesaw. It's free.
What? It's 0?
Yeah.
My goodness.
+1/+0, equip 1.
Well.
I don't know.
Hmm.
Yeah. I like the name Bonesaw.
Bonesaw.
It's my nickname in high school. Bonesaw.
Why?
Never you mind that.
Okay. I mean, okay. Okay.
And Stoneforge Masterwork, which I don't know how good this is either. One colorless mana. Equipped creature gets +1/+1 for each other creature you control that shares a creature type with it equipped to.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Hmm.
It's more of that us versus them kind of like mechanic that
it
I see there.
It is very us versus them.
There's been a lot of cool Eldrazi that have been spoiled recently. Yeah. Today, in fact, Mark Rosewater
thought
spoiled.
Thought Not Seer.
Three colorless.
Very British.
When Thought Not Seer enters the battlefield, your target opponent reveal his or her hand. You choose a non-land card from it and exile that card. Mm. When Thought Not Seer leaves the battlefield, target opponent draws a card.
Did you think you were going to cast that card? Thought not.
Thought Not Seer. Yes. Yeah, it reminds me a little of Tidehollow Sculler, except worse.
Well, I mean, it does cost more, but it is good. a 4/4 for 4. And they don't you do just get the best card currently in their hand.
Yeah.
And they don't ever get it back.
No, you don't.
Which get is a it little back. Bit of a nice, you know, that's pretty nice.
Yeah, you have that Emrakul.
Mm-hmm.
God.
Get it out of here.
Get it out.
Who does it think it is?
We were arguing about this card a little bit the other day.
Tell me about what we were fighting about.
Linvala the Preserver.
Oh, that's right.
So this is 4WW flying 5/5, mm-hmm. No big deal.
Oh, yeah.
When Linvala the Preserver enters the battlefield, if an opponent has more life than you, gain 5 life.
Oh, my.
No big deal.
Goodness.
And when she enters the battlefield, if an opponent controls more creatures than you, put a 3/3 white angel creature token with flying onto the battlefield.
It's like a timely Thrag Tusk.
Yeah, that's what people have been calling it.
A Thrag Tusk reinforcement.
If this card gets played in Standard, I quit.
You quit? Why?
It's so annoying.
Why? Because you gain life?
Yes.
And you get a creature?
Yes.
If your opponent's... Oh, I'm so sorry. Were you trying to burn me out? Fuck you.
I'm just mad because when there's all those Thrag Tusks running around with Restoration Angel, and it was just like, Thrag, rest, Thrag, gain my life. This game goes forever. Who
but
cares?
But to be fair, like, Thrag Tusk triggered every single time. And this, eventually, if you were able to somehow flicker it, you know, you wouldn't always gain the life. Eventually, you would gain more than your opponent has.
Yeah, that's true.
And then you wouldn't be able to trigger it anymore.
Maybe I should just...
6 is also a lot.
Yeah, 6 is a lot.
It's a lot of mana. I mean, it's gonna be a bomb in limited.
Oh, man.
I can imagine.
I'm so excited to see if an Eldrazi deck goes into Standard, like, for real.
There are Eldrazi ramp decks in Standard for real.
Yeah, that's true.
Which are pretty sweet.
But
I'm very
excited. But I
want to
play 2-drop Drazis. You know what I mean?
That's totally fair. Maria, you said this is like an us versus them set, you know, allies versus Eldrazi.
Yeah.
Which side are you on?
I think I'm on the side of the Drazis.
Yeah.
And don't tell me, you're
too.
Not because you.
No, I,
you
no, I totally am.
Zendikar
they are
destroyed.
Very cool. Okay, so they spoiled a card today. That's red, and it's Fall of the Tyrants.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. look it up. And I'm really worried.
Fall of the Titans.
Yes, Tyrants. They're also Tyrants.
Remember the Titans. They're going to fall.
This is the follow-up to that movie where instead of coming together and having a better football team, like they do, and then they do great that one year, but
then
the next
it.
Year, all of the other teams like are gunning for them, and they don't do as well. And so it's called Fall of the Titans. It totally has Chandra just like taken down our buddies Kozilek and Ulamog. And at the bottom it says, as Gideon kept the bound well, can
lineages.
You read it? I can't read it from
brood.
Here.
As Gideon kept the brood lineages at bay, Chandra incinerated the bound Eldrazi Titans.
Right? And like that just, you know that I have been rooting
yes, you
for
have.
The Eldrazi to win on Zendikar. Yeah. I really want them.
Doesn't seem like it's going to happen.
Maria, I want them to win.
You can pay so just so you know, if you don't know what this card is, XX Red. Fall of the Titans deals X damage to each of up to 2 target creatures and/or players, or you can pay its surge cost for X and a red, which if it's a second spell you cast,
it's just X,
which is insanity.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet. I mean,
so where are all these one mana spells? You know,
Yeah,
that are going to enable this.
I mean, I hope that it happens. You could have green red, and you could play that one drop Oath of Nissa.
Yeah, you sure could.
Who knows? I haven't looked hard enough. Maybe there will also be like one drop red things.
That's what I'm interested to see, you know?
Yeah. I just...
Then Storm gets more toys.
It makes me really sad because I really want the Eldrazi to win on Zendikar.
Sounds like it's just the strangest thing.
I just want them to take it over.
I mean, I agree with you.
I want Zendikar to be lost. I want it to be a story of defeat. Because do you know what? Yeah. It's not exciting to read stories where everybody wins. Where everybody wins all the time.
I agree.
If I'm ever going to care about the Planeswalkers winning... I need to see them lose.
Yeah, I think that's very true.
Just saying, you guys.
Yeah.
This has been Story Corner.
What if the Planeswalkers that we know and love are then like, they have to stay on Zendikar because it's their oath. They've taken the oath to stay and protect the gate or whatever.
What's the gate? The gate to the Blind Eternities?
The gate into the other planes.
Which is the Blind Eternities? Wait, no. The other planes? So they don't want anybody to planeswalk anymore?
Yeah, they don't want the Eldrazis to planeswalk on out.
I don't know if the Eldrazi, they don't planeswalk.
How did they get there?
They exist in a place called the Blind Eternities. So Eugene was even like, our favorite spirit dragon buddy, Eugene, was like, Jace, he actually told Jace, hey, you can't kill the Eldrazi because they're actually like,
they're in basically
a different dimension. They exist in a place called the Blind Eternities. And what you see, like what you see as Ulamog or what you see as Kozilek, is just like an extension of that being. And the problem is that if you kill them, like while that arm, right? If it's like a hand,
yeah.
It's like if it's Ulamog's hand and Zendikar is like a fishbowl.
Yeah.
And if you trap it in there, if you trap that hand in there, that Eldrazi can't go anywhere else. But if you cut off the hand and you kill it, then the arm is free and that Eldrazi can go somewhere else.
Oh, that's so weird.
Right? So I feel like at the very least, if they do end up winning, we're going to get some mad repercussions because the Planeswalker's going to kill the Eldrazis like Eugene told them not to.
Oh, you have to listen to Eugene, you know?
You really have to listen to Eugene. He's a wise, powerful spirit dragon.
If there's a spirit dragon, I'm listening to him.
Exactly. You know what I mean? So at the very least, like maybe it's going to end up causing more havoc. Like if they're going to save Zendikar, but they're going to really fuck over the rest of the multiverse. But at the same time, I just wish, you know, Zendikar would lose.
I understand.
So, but they're going to cut off the hand in the fishbowl. you know the traditional phrase,
yeah.
don't cut off the hand in the fishbowl because then the person can walk over to the ocean.
I say that all the time.
Yeah, as do I.
So there'll be a lot more spoilers happening. Keep it tuned here as well as MTA Cast on Twitter.
Absolutely.
We're going to keep talking about these bad boys until these bad boys become real boys and we play with them. What?
Like Pinocchio? Yeah. I'm pulling Pinocchio. Judge Rob is going to be on the cast next week.
Next week.
Absolutely.
Judge Rob, if you have any questions about the set or any of the cards, make sure you listen because you don't want to go into that pre-release like you're walking into the Blind Eternities. You want to know what's up.
Yeah.
And sometimes I've learned a lot of good stuff from Judge Rob when he comes on the show because I'm like, oh. And
I used
that knowledge in the pre-release. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I want to know if that 6/6 flyer exiles your library face down and your opponent's trying to process something. Do they process a face down card? Can they process a face down card because it's exiled?
Yeah, I think they can process it.
Yeah, but they're just like processing blind.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Kind of cool. We'll find out.
Which is basically what the DMV is always doing, am I right? That's why it takes so long. We're just not looking at any of it. It's a constructed corner.
Yes, it is.
Look at how well constructed this corner is.
It's got 90-degree angles and everything.
It's not just a standard corner.
No.
It's a special corner because this week it also includes modern.
Modern.
That's right. The professor over at Tolarian Community College was kind enough to lend me a modern merfolk deck
what
for a couple of weeks.
What a swell guy.
Which was super nice.
Yeah.
So I could kind of, you know, give it a try. And it's kind of an aggro deck. So as you can imagine, it went kind of poorly for me. every time that I'm just like, you know, it's so weird because I can feel my perspective like shifting as I try and like as I play it more and more because I feel my impulses always to play a more controlling game and always to play for the long game. And sometimes it's just like, no, Megan, you sit here, you figure out what's going to do the most damage the quickest, and you do that,
and
okay?
You do it. You like, you do have to that. Force yourself. Oh, that's
like,
so great.
No drawing. Don't play this card just because it draws you a goddamn card. It's not the best option right now, okay? I know it draws you a card, but it's not the best option, Megan. It's a really difficult lesson for me to learn.
Oh, I understand. Really, that's how I feel when I play Control. I'm like, just sit there, Maria. You don't have to play out your hand. You don't have to just play that creature. You just hold on to that creature. Do you hear me?
Oh, man. Yeah. So, yeah. Like, yeah,
I understand.
Like I said, it's so difficult. That being said, like,
what's Merfolk's deal anyway?
Merfolk is basically, there's a lot of fishes and you play them.
Oh, okay.
So you have, and this version of the deck doesn't play one drops, like Curse Catcher, which a lot of Merfolk decks do. There's a one drop Merfolk Curse Catcher. But it does play Aether Vials, which on your upkeep, you can put a charge counter on it. And at any point when it is untapped, you can tap it and put a creature from your hand into play with a converted mana cost equal to the number of charge counters on Aether Vial.
Okay.
So it's a very powerful card. Yeah. It's obviously more powerful in a deck with a lot of low drops because, you know, you only get to put one counter on it each upkeep. So it never gets, you know, it's not going to get super high. You're going to want to use it on like one and two and three. But it's a very, you know, it's a very powerful card. It lets you put, it basically, if you have a handful of creatures, you're practically doubling your mana, right? Because on turn three, if you played it on turn one, you can cast a three drop with your mana, but then you can also at instant speed, put a two drop in from your hand, with Aether Vial. So basically you're just like spamming Merfolk at the board. And hitting your opponent with them. And that's basically it. Some sweet stuff, like you have Spreading Seas, which is a one and a blue enchantment, which turns the land that it is enchanting into an island. So you put that on your opponent's lands. And then you have some Merfolk, which give all your other Merfolk Island Walk.
Huh.
So you get to, you know, make things have Island Walk.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
And your opponent conveniently has an island because you made them have one.
Here, take this island.
Take this island.
Deal with it.
You have to. Anyways, yeah. And so it is a very, like, I get why people would want to play the deck. I get it is pretty cool. And it can sometimes just do, like, an insane amount of damage really quickly because it has a lot of different lords. There's, like, Lord of Atlantis, Master of the Pearl Trident or something like that. And then Marrow Reachery.
Reach Around?
Yeah. Basically, Marrow Reach Around, which all are lords and give your other merfolk a +1/+1. And then the Marrow Reach Around. Also, when you play a merfolk spell, it allows you to tap or untap a permanent. So you can also like tap down blockers or tap down lands so that your opponent can't cast anything or can't block. You can untap your own lands and replay things. And it has, like, you know, some bounce ones like Harbinger of the Tides and stuff like that. So it is, like I said, it can do, sometimes it is impressively powerful.
Cool.
It also has some major weaknesses.
Like what?
Like, if your opponent plays an Engineered Explosives on two, you just die. Like, yeah, it blows up everything. It blows up all the stuff.
You know, I feel like that's true of a lot of decks in Modern, right? There's like very specific haste that can be used for all these very specific decks.
Absolutely. Like Tron, right?
Yeah.
That's why, like, Blood Moon, it's just like, oh, I lost.
Just kidding, you can't win.
JK.
And Spellskite for Boggles. Oh, just kidding, you can't win.
Yep.
So that's weird to me that there's like, oh, just put this one card in and then you literally can do absolutely nothing about it.
I think it's kind of the payoff for there being super powerful strategies is luckily they also have some weaknesses. Otherwise, it would just be so frustrating all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was a very interesting learning experience. I would say even more interesting for me than learning about other Modern decks that I was playing against was, again, just like trying to figure out how to be a better aggro player because it is not at all in my wheelhouse. And so I really appreciated the opportunity to try that out. And it's definitely something that I think, like, it's an aspect of my gameplay that I want to develop.
Like, take a walk on the dark side, you know what I mean?
Exactly. Like that song, Take a Walk on the Dark Side.
What song?
Take a Walk on the Wild Side.
How does that song go?
It's like a lot of talking.
Take a walk on the dark side.
Yes. Okay. I'm gonna go ahead and say yes. It's a very talky song.
Oh, okay.
And I can't do the voice as low. Like, take a walk on the wild side.
You know who you sounded like? You sounded like me trying to do a Sean Connery impression.
I did sound like you trying to do a Sean Connery impression. And then it's just like some very like chill me like.
Darn it. It's the worst thing I've ever had to listen to.
The real song is better than this, my recreation of it.
I've been dabbling in modern recently.
Yes.
I need to do some more dabbling. But I borrowed my friend's account and have played with a blue-black Eldrazi deck. The reason I chose this deck to play with was I was just trying to get familiar with decks in the format. And I was like, oh, I know what these cards do, so I'll play this deck.
Yeah.
And she said it was kind of a homebrew, but I found somebody else who like has some versions of it online. It has Wasteland Strangler, Ulamog's Reclaimer, Sire of Stagnation, Oblivion Sower, and the Nullifier or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was kind of fun.
Totally. And I definitely played against that a couple of times in Modern League.
Oh, did you really?
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
It's actually a pretty good matchup for Merfolk.
Another deck that I've been like kind of keeping my eye on, and so has Megan.
Yes.
Is Lantern Control.
Oh my.
People be talking about this deck, Megan.
Yeah, it won a Grand Prix.
It sure did.
It is sweet and weird.
And it like kind of came out of like nowhere as far as I could tell.
Totally came out of nowhere, because also when you look at it, you're like, well, this is a pile of crap.
Yeah. Because it's another one of those decks that like doesn't do anything, and then yeah. Your opponent cannot win the game.
Exactly. That's basically what it does. Yeah. Is its whole game plan is not letting your opponent do anything fun, which is right up my alley.
Yeah.
As we all know. If you want to see this deck in action, I highly recommend LSV recorded a couple of videos with it on Channel Fireball. And it is just so delightful and entertaining to watch.
It revolves around the card Ensnaring Bridge, which says creatures with power greater than the number of cards in your hand can't attack, and then basically you make them you don't have any cards.
Yeah. Well, you're also making sure that your opponent doesn't draw anything relevant.
Right.
You sort of pick apart their hand, and then you make sure that they can't play anything relevant, because you have a card called Lantern of Insight, where both players play with the top card of their library revealed. And you can tap and sack it to make a target player shuffle their library, but that's really not what you're doing with it. You're using cards like Ghoul Caller's Bell and Codex Shredder
take it away.
Exactly. So if you see something that your opponent, like they might be able to turn the game around with it, you can just be like, no, you can't draw it.
I don't think so.
Exactly. So it is a nasty little deck.
Yeah. Very, very entertaining.
Very entertaining.
To watch.
Like I said, go check out the videos if you're not convinced, because watching it, I was just like, oh, I could watch this all day.
It was really, I mean, LSV, you know, you could watch him, you know.
That's true. I could watch him
paint a fence.
I could watch him pilot anything.
Pilot, even a plane.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't want to be on it.
Oh, well.
But I feel like
if I was in the hands of someone who was not an actual pilot and I had to be just like a normal human, if it was LSV, I'd feel like more safe than most of the general public.
Oh, that's totally fair. But I like to think that I'm trying to live my life in such a way that I will never end up in a situation where someone who's not a pilot has to pilot a plane that I'm in.
But what if it's LSV? Because then that means you guys were on the same plane.
I mean,
hanging out.
I still don't want to be on a plane piloted by someone who's not a pilot. I'm just going to put that out there.
It's your life.
I mean, it is. That's exactly my point. It's my life.
Flavortext Theater presents Make This Card a Rare.
That's right. We're going to crack. This is a brand new game that we just came up with.
Yes.
I'm very excited.
Very new.
We're going to crack this pack of Origins,
mm-hmm.
And then we're going to see what we would have to do to make the commons in it into rares.
Or mythic rares, even.
Yeah. So here we go. It's also a game called Open a Jace.
Yeah, that's what we're really playing.
All right, come on, buddy.
Come on, right. Jace.
Well, We'll leave it towards the end, right?
Okay.
All okay. Right. Ready?
Yeah.
Okay. What do you have?
I have Send to Sleep. Do you remember this card?
No.
One in a blue, tap up to two target creatures. Spell Mastery. If there are two or more instant and or sorcery cards in your graveyard, those creatures don't untap during their controller's next untap steps.
Okay.
So to make this card a rare, yeah. Send to Sleep for two mana. Because we have to keep the mana cost, I believe.
Yeah, let's keep the... Okay. Yeah, you have to keep the mana cost. Or no, you... It's just, you know, it still has to be kind of in the spirit of the same card.
Okay. I'm going to tap the team.
Oh, nice. The team.
Tap the team for one in a blue, and they don't untap.
Wow.
With Spell Mastery.
Wow.
Do you think that's worth a rare?
I don't know. It still seems a little underpowdered.
It's not underpowdered. It's a little underpowdered. What if they just don't untap like straight up? Then that's definitely a rare.
Yeah.
Okay. We've made Send to Sleep a rare. It's not a rare.
I have Separatist Void Mage. It's three and a blue for a 2/2, and when it enters the battlefield, you may return target creature to its owner's hand. This was a good card. Yeah. I'm going to make it a 4/4, though.
Okay.
For three and a blue, it's a 4/4, and you get to bounce two creatures.
Whoa, that's like a mythic rare.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going all out to rare town.
Would it just be a rare if it was 4/4 bounce one? I think it would be a rare.
I mean, that's just not exciting enough for me.
Isn't there a card like this that was just spoiled?
Ooh, okay, do you know what? Actually, 4/4, three and a blue, but it's not just bounce a creature, it's bounce any target permanent.
Ooh, okay, great.
Okay, so there we go. Yeah. There we go. Just one, but it's
what
any
am
permanent.
I thinking of that was a 4/4?
I have. Oh, you're thinking of the Thought Knot Seer.
Oh yeah.
Because that's a 4/4 and exile something.
Oh, here we go. I've got a real tough job ahead of me.
Okay.
Because I have Caustic Caterpillar. One green, one and a green. Sacrifice him to destroy target artifact or enchantment. It's a 1/1.
Okay. Make that card a rare.
This card's gonna become a rare. That's too good. I was going to say it's a rare because you don't have to sacrifice it. You just have to pay one and a green.
Oh, snap. Just do it.
Just do it. I've ruined so many formats, Megan.
Get on the train to rare town.
Okay. Pay one and a green and...
Sacrifice any creature.
Okay. Maybe. That's a little better.
Okay, yeah.
Sacrifice any creature, destroy target artifact or enchantment.
Perfect.
That card's going to see some play.
I have Warhorn.
Oh my god, I don't remember this
one. A 3 mana artifact attacking creatures you control get +1/+0.
Okay.
I'm going to make it just creatures you control get. God, what do you have
for
to... For 3? Get +1/+1?
Think about this. Remember that like 5 drop instant or enchantment with flash from Theros?
That was 5 mana and it gave your creatures +2/+2.
Yeah.
Okay, so +1. Like all creatures you control get +1/+1.
Okay.
Just creatures. Attacking creatures.
That's a good
creatures.
Rare.
Yeah.
Good rare. All right, Night Snare. Do you remember this bad boy?
Yeah.
3 to black.
No.
I don't.
I super don't.
Sorcery. Target opponent reveals his or her hand. You choose a non-land card from it. If you do, that player discards that card. If you don't, that player discards 2 cards.
Ooh.
Well, I don't know. You just make it into Thoughtseize.
Yeah, basically. 1 mana. We're done.
1 mana.
Thoughtseize. All right. Scab Goliath. 5 and a blue for a 6/9. As an additional cost to cast Scab Goliath, exile 2 creature cards from your graveyard. Trample. It's a 6 mana 6/9 with trample at the end. You don't have to exile 2 creatures.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Yeah.
I play that.
No drawback.
Undead Servant, 3 black. When Undead Servant enters the battlefield, put a 2/2 black zombie creature token onto the battlefield for each card in your named Undead Servant in your graveyard. It's 3/2. We remember this guy.
Yeah.
This has to be a rare, huh?
Yeah.
Put 2/2 black zombie creature tokens.
What if it's just for each creature in your graveyard?
Whoa.
Period.
Yeah.
Not named.
Then it's a rare.
Yeah,
then it's a rare.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Yeah. Nice. Fire Fiend Elemental, 3 and a red for a 3/2 haste with Renown 1. I'm going to go ahead and make it a 4/4 haste with Renown 1 the end.
Veteran Sidearm, 2. Equipped creature gets +1/+1. Equip 1. I'm just going to turn this one into Bone Splinters.
Perfect.
Yeah, and that cost 1, actually. And
wait,
it was
what?
Do you remember Bone Splitter? It was like plus, what am I thinking of? That axe, you know,
oh,
for Modern
yeah.
Masters.
Bone Splitter.
Bone Splitter, sorry. plus, what is it? Plus 2 plus 0?
Or plus 3 plus 0?
I can't remember.
I don't remember. Plus 2 plus 0.
Anyway, that card's now Bone Spoon.
Fair enough. I found the rare. Knight of the White Orchid. It's white, white.
Jace, get out.
First strike, 2-2. Yada, yada.
Yeah.
Ooh. I have a difficult one.
Okay.
Grasp of the Hieromancer. One and a white. Enchantment aura. Enchant creature. Enchanted creature gets plus one and has whenever this creature attacks, tap target creature defending player controls.
What if it was tap two creatures?
What if it was, it doesn't get plus anything, but it taps the team.
Ooh.
Tap all creatures.
That's too good.
That is too good. Fuck it.
We're going to break this game.
Do you know what? I'm not an RNG.
This is how Mana Drain happened.
That's right. Let's make a channel.
Suppression Bonds. 3 and a white. Enchant. Ooh. Non-land permanent. Enchant and permanent can't attack or block. Its activated abilities can't be activated. Make it a rare. It has flash and it costs 1 white-white and is all of a sudden. No, that was uncommon.
Yeah.
Oh. 1 white.
Ooh. Spicy.
Yep.
I have Reclaim, green instant. Put target card from your graveyard on top of your library. I'm going to have it say just say, put any number of cards from your graveyard on top of your library.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Still wouldn't play it.
Nope. But do you know what? That's how some rares are.
That's very true.
So, some are Mana Drains. Some are Oath of Jaces. Or some are that Hedron alignment.
Oh, yeah. That's going to be a sad day when I open that, buddy.
Oh, yeah.
Well, everybody, that's our show for this week. I hope you've enjoyed us, and I hope you've enjoyed me despite my cold.
I hope that you've
destroyed several planes while you were listening to us.
Absolutely.
If you're an Eldrazi, hey, we're on your side.
Absolutely. And, you know, send us a photo from the blind Eternities.
I want to know what it's like.
We want to see what it looks like
there. I imagine it's like the Q continuum, you know?
Yeah, totally.
Don't you think?
I could see that.
Mm-hmm. Nerd alert. Anyway, yeah. thanks everybody for listening. Remember, mm-hmm. you can watch this video on Friday on Tolarian Community College on YouTube.
Absolutely.
They're there every week, and the professor puts in a lot of work, mm-hmm. like adding graphics and stuff to our video. So if you want to watch us instead of not just listen to us, it's really great video, and he adds a lot of stuff and puts a lot of hard work into it. So thanks to him for that.
While you're over there, check out some of his other sweet videos. You can check out product reviews. You can check out Office Hours with Nyssa and other Planeswalkers coming soon.
Yeah.
It's pretty sweet stuff over on the channel.
And we still have Magic the Amateuring shirts for sale over on our website, magicktheamateuring.com. We have a lot of men's mediums, so please go buy a men's medium.
Especially if you are a medium man. Everyone go buy a shirt, but
especially medium men.
Especially the medium men out there.
And we have new shirts that are being ordered, so we're going to restock. Some of our sizes have sold out, and we've bought more of those, so those will be on the way on the website in probably about 10 days or so, I'll let everybody know when that happens. But yeah, we're also going to get 3XL, so we're going to have every size under the sun available, and they're so cute and cool.
Yeah.
So go do that, or you can also support us on Patreon if you want to become a sustaining member,
yes.
like public radio.
Huh. To become a sustaining member.
Yes. You'd be a patron, and you'll get a shirt for only a small donation of $5 an episode. Yes. For 3 months. And you need to be very fancy and tell everybody you support Magic the Amateuring.
That you're a patron.
You're a patron. It's a very noble sort of thing.
Very noble.
Anyway, yeah, so that's the deal with all of our stuff.
Absolutely. If you would like to say hi to us, shoot us a tweet at MTAcast or an email at magicktheamateuring@gmail.com. If you're hanging out on Magic Online, maybe drafting some sweet holiday cube before it disappears. I am Ice Cream Socialist.
And I'm Horny_Unicorny.
Absolutely. So check it out. Say hi. And until next time, you look like a mouse.
I was so scared of what you were going to say, and then...
I know, I kept it clean.
And then I wasn't.